Everyone, turn off your cell phone now. Off now. Including the sound wallahs. No cell phone. Oh, heart attack. Shock. The necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter, cell phone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do we have more chairs? There's one lady standing here. Thank you very much for the enthusiastic welcome. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm very happy to see all of you. Many of you I haven't seen for quite some time. And it looks like that you're quite happy to see me also. And of course, the happiness comes anyway you're happy by chanting Hare Krishna. I don't have to tell you that, you're practically experiencing it. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamavyaya. Practically it's experienced how this practice of Krishna consciousness makes us happy. Srila Prabhupada often said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And we might think, well, it sounds very simple and very shallow. But not only can it be practically experienced, but if we go to the first part of this verse, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This chanting Hare Krishna and being happy is the highest knowledge, and it's based on great philosophy, which is the purest of all. It's a great philosophy, it's very, very simple. What is that? That we are all eternal living beings, Krishna is supreme, we have to serve him selflessly. Pretty much that's the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, just in three propositions. But it's so difficult to understand. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavang mamkapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabhaha. There's a newly born Mahatma. Hope he's going to understand this philosophy. Being born in a Vaishnava family. After many, many births, tatratam buddhisam, what is that? Suchinam srimatam gaye yoga vrashta vijayate tatratam buddhisam yogam labante labate pauravadehikam. Someone is born in a good family, suitable for cultivating Krishna consciousness, and then they automatically pick up that understanding from the previous life. So it's very difficult to understand. It's very simple to understand, it's very difficult to understand. It may take many lifetimes to understand. Why is that? Why is it that so many big intelligent people, Einstein's famous big brain of the 20th century, very big brain. Now we have Stephen Hawking and so many intelligent people. They don't, Einstein never even thought of this. Never even he applied his intelligence to what to trying to understand matter. Instead of the real question, Kayami Kene Amei Jare Tapachai. Who am I actually? Why am I suffering? The threefold miseries of materialism. Most people don't even realize they're suffering. They don't even think that I'm suffering. So foolish. Fools and rascals. All fools and can't understand because their consciousness is so polluted. What is that pollution? The desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So people are very proud. Now we're developing India, big cities. All this area here where we're now sitting. Just a short time ago, there were peacocks and cows and thorn bushes growing wild. Now it's all developed. Concrete jungle. All rascals come here to enjoy their senses by living in the city, and then you get more money, then you can eat more meat, and you can drink wine and become a first-class demon. These cities are meant for bringing people further and further away from the real purpose of human life, which is to understand who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, I was at our Gauragrama rural project, where devotees are living very simply and chanting Hare Krishna, and satisfied to do that. They don't want to go to the city. Why should we come to this horrible, stinking, polluted place where everyone is simply competing with each other and everyone's miserable? The only reason to come here is to preach Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there's no need to live in this completely frustrating situation. What is the benefit? Everyone has come here. They're all simply frustrated. You can see on the faces of the people. The face is the index of the mind. How full of tension and unhappiness. Even materially speaking, they're not happy. Just opening a shop, doing some job, trying to earn some money so that they can have food to eat and tea to drink and alcohol to drink and cell phone, and then watch the pornography on the internet. Completely miserable life, like rats. Living like rats in the city. So there's no need. You don't have to live like this. Srila Prabhupada, the great ambassador of the spiritual world, came with completely spiritual message, but that is to understand our relationship with Krishna, act in that relationship, chant Hare Krishna, and prepare ourselves to go back to the spiritual world. But he was very practical. Acharya. He taught us how to live. We don't even know how to live as human beings. When Srila Prabhupada went to the Western world, he wrote so many letters back to friends and acquaintances and godbrothers in India. In one of them, he noted that one of the great achievements of Western civilization is that after cleaning their stomach, or that's Indian English, passing stool, they wipe their backside with some paper. This is the great achievement of. See, first of all, there were some cells, and then they became fish. And then they crawled onto the land and became lizards, and then they became monkeys. And gradually they became human beings. And now they came to the highest level of human civilization. They've learned to wipe their backsides with paper. This is it. This is high civilization. It's disgusting. They just wipe their backside and pull up their pants, and you see in the public toilets in the West. And they just walk, they don't even wash their hands. What to speak of taking a bath? So people don't even know how to live like human beings. And that's coming in India also. What are they living for? Just, they're born, they go to school, they do a job, they might have a little religion, they offer a little Agarbatti to Sai Baba in the morning, but that's not fulfilling the purpose of human life. Then they watch pornography on the internet, they get married, they beat their wife, or the wife beats the husband, or both. They get divorced. They get sexually transmitted diseases. And after living a completely miserable life, they die. And then they go to hell. Complete waste of this valuable human form of life. More in India. Srila Prabhupada said that Indians are the most stupid people in the world. I didn't say it, Prabhupada said it. Foolish was actually the word he used. It's the same thing. Because they have the knowledge and the culture by which they can, after millions of births, they can get out of this miserable cycle of human life. But instead, they're imitating the cat, dog, rat, monkey, so-called civilization of the Western world and forgetting their own culture. So they're the most foolish. If you're just a fool because no one ever taught you anything, then you're a fool. But if you have the best culture, if you have actual knowledge, and still you reject that to live as a fool and a rascal, then what category of a fool or a rascal are you? So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to uplift. He came to, from the spiritual world to uplift the whole of human society by giving them knowledge of Krishna, by giving them this blissful life of chanting Hare Krishna, living simply. Not getting entangled in this cat and dog civilization. His spiritual master ordered him to preach in the Western world, which he did with unimaginable success. Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan before he went to the West, and he was no secret. Of course, he was busy writing his books and writing articles for Back to Godhead magazine. But he's very sociable also. He mixed with many people. And he would tell everyone, I want to go to the West and preach. And they thought, yeah, that's a funny sadhu. There are so many old men come and live in Vrindavan at the end of life. And they live there and they chant Hare Krishna and they may do some study and this and that. And they live and they're quite happy and Jai Radhe, and they leave this world from Vrindavan and they go back to the original Vrindavan. They go from Vrindavan to Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan, to Golok Vrindavan. Vrindavan manifested in this world to the original, non-different Vrindavan in the spiritual world. But this Bhaktivedanta, later became Bhaktivedanta Swami, he's a bit of a strange fellow. He's living there. He hardly has like any sadhu in Vrindavan. He has no money, but he has all this big talk. He's going to go to America and preach Krishna consciousness. And people thought he's a very strange fellow. He's just some strange idea he has. So many eccentric people. He's a very strange person. But anyway, there are so many strange people in Vrindavan. Okay, here he comes again. He's going to talk about going to the Western world. Swamiji, Jai Radhe. No one took him seriously. It's very difficult for anyone to find anyone to take him seriously. Eventually, he convinced this Sindhya steamship company owner, Sumati Murarji. Somehow he convinced her. She also thought, funny Swami. Anyway, he's insisting, he's pressing me. You give me a passage, I have the ship. He can go. I'll give him a return ticket. If he's so insistent to go, I'll give him the ticket. And I'll give him a return ticket so he can go there and see America and come back. I don't lose anything. So he went. He was very, very serious. He preached Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. And it was unprecedented, unimagined. Of course, it wasn't that Srila Prabhupada landed in Boston Harbor and the mayor of the city came to greet him with a big kirtan and they garlanded him and thousands of people fell at his feet and said, please instruct us. We're suffering in material life. Please give us the torch of transcendental knowledge. Nothing like that at all. Nothing. No such thing. He had to struggle to gradually bring people in. But eventually things clicked. Srila Prabhupada made all kinds of adjustments, going to a big rock concert with thousands of intoxicated hippies. No sadhu in India would even imagine doing that. Srila Prabhupada made many adjustments to preach in the Western world. But he said that my guru ordered me to preach in the Western world. I've done that. Now my desire is to preach Krishna consciousness in India. Srila Prabhupada was not only berating the Indian people for being so foolish, but he was trying to uplift them. In berating them, it wasn't that he was just calling them bad names, but he wanted to wake them up. Why are you living like fools and rascals? You're meant for something better than this. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the narration of one man who is very poor, but an astrologer came and told him, actually, you're not poor, you're very rich. Your father left you so much treasure. But he died in a distant place and didn't tell you. He don't know. That used to be a common system in India. People lived in earth houses and they would bury treasure under the house and they wouldn't tell anyone. Maybe only the husband and wife knew. And if they suddenly died, then no one would know. Buried treasure. In the Western world also, there's ideas. Maybe you can bury it, to hide it away. So, all right, you have some treasure, but you have to know how to find it. And you have to know how to extract it. Because if you dig on the south side, I can't remember exactly, but on the south side, some snake will come and bite you, and you won't get the treasure. If you dig on the west side, then some bees will come and attack you, and you won't be able to get the treasure. If you dig on the north side, then a ghost is protecting from that side, so you won't be able to get the treasure. You have to dig on the eastern side. Then you can get the treasure. So the idea is that the treasure is the Vedic knowledge of Krishna consciousness. But if you approach in the wrong direction, karma, jnana, or yoga, then you won't get the real treasure. You have to take the right approach. There's so many people who approach the Vedic knowledge. Traditionally, the three main diversions from real Vedic knowledge have been the paths of karma, jnana, and yoga. And now the culture is so degraded that, again, Sai Baba. Why should I say Sai Baba? Why give him any importance? Because the people give him importance. It's such a calamity, such a monstrosity, that people who are heirs, uttaradhikari, they're the heirs to this great treasure of spiritual knowledge and culture by which they can get free from birth and death and go to the spiritual world and live happily forever in Krishna consciousness, they're worshipping Sai Baba. It's just disgusting and disgraceful. What a disaster. And who's going to guide them properly? Well, on the order of Srila Prabhupada, and in pursuance of his mission, his followers are trying to do so, at least some of his followers. Some of his followers are supposed to be followers and say, no, no, don't speak about Sai Baba. Don't upset anyone. Tell them to chant Hare Krishna, take their money, and don't say anything about Sai Baba. No, it's in the other order. Take their money and maybe tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Don't upset them. But we should upset them because their whole life is being spoiled by this nonsense ideas. Everything they do, everything they think, I am a Hindu. Well, what is the use of being a Hindu? You're living completely materialistically. You have no idea of the ultimate goal of life. You think the main thing about being a Hindu is to hate Muslims. What's this got to do with anything of Vedic culture? Or what Krishna came to teach us? What the real acharyas have come to teach us? So, this Krishna conscious movement is meant for giving real knowledge, real life, real culture. What is that real knowledge? Krishna's two Bhagavans. You can see here all these posters are there. All Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Pastimes of Krishna. And quotations from Bhagavad Gita. As it is. Mostly the Telugu people, they're misled by this Gita Makaranda. Some rascal, bogus, Mayavadi edition of Bhagavad Gita. It's not Makarandam. It's Visham. It's simply poison. It's not honey. It's poison because it doesn't present Bhagavad Gita as it actually is. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, gives the summation of the message of Bhagavad Gita. It's there in Gita. Krishna is the original personality of God. In Gita also, again and again. Matath parataram nanyat kinjit asti dananjaya. Krishna says, there's nothing superior to me. And these commentators, they mislead people. Recently I was listening to a Western so-called scholar. Well, he is a scholar, he's a rascal. Who is his explaining Bhagavad Gita to his university students in America. And saying that, well, actually the message of Gita, the main message is bhakti. You may say, well, why am I calling him a rascal? Well, just wait. You see, and it's to Krishna. But you have to understand it's that Krishna is not actually a deity or God, but symbolizes the whole universe, which is ourselves. There's nothing like that in Bhagavad Gita. Nothing whatsoever. He quotes, without giving the Sanskrit, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagada vyakta murti namatstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva vastita. So he says, you see, Krishna is the whole universe. Ultimately, he's unmanifested and everything's in him and not in him. So that's us. And completely both. Bogus expression. I wonder how can someone, and again and again he's insisting that you see you have to worship Krishna, remember Krishna, but always you have to remember it's not some funny idea of some god, but it's the unmanifest and the whole universe which we're all part of. How can he be a scholar and come up with such a strange idea? Where did he get this from? Deep-seated envy of Krishna. Very deep. That they don't, they're completely opposed to the idea of surrendering to Krishna. So this message should be preached. There are so many ideas about how to preach Krishna consciousness in the modern age, but they're mostly not preaching Krishna consciousness. You see, teach people how to be nice and personality development. And they can chant and then they'll be a better person. And you can learn tolerance and compassion and feed the poor and so many. He's going round and round and round and round and round. But what's the point? It's Krishna. We have to surrender to Krishna. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. Being nice and good and humble and tolerant and kind and compassionate and feeding the poor is all completely useless without clear understanding, clear commitment to surrender to Krishna. Krishna bhakti is not a means to become a socially integrated person. You may or may not be. Generally, devotees are not very socially integrated because, especially in the demoniac society, when you take to Krishna consciousness, then all your friends, they say, oh, that's strange. What happened to him? Our aim is not to, of course, the devotee develops all good qualities, but it's not that our aim is to be nice people, good people, this, that. The aim is to surrender to Krishna. People may think we're good or not good or whatever. Actually, who's a devotee of Krishna? He must be good. Yasya asti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai tatra samasate sura. So, all the good qualities of the great saintly people, demigods, develop in a person who is completely surrendered to Krishna without anything else. That's what comes first. The sense akinchana, nothing but Krishna. Then all good qualities come. But materialistic people, they won't appreciate those good qualities because in their idea, good quality means how to live in this world in a manner that we don't encroach on. We ourselves, we live a life of balanced sense gratification and we don't encroach on other sense gratification. And if you can help other sense gratification by opening hospitals and schools, that's very good. The best people. They open hospitals and schools and eye camps and things like this. And they help other people to maximize their opportunities for sense gratification. So fortunately, Srila Prabhupada, fortunately for us, he made our good fortune by giving us knowledge of reality as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's not a very welcome message to most people, including to Arjuna. He didn't want Bhagavad Gita as it is. He wanted Krishna to tell him, oh, you became a pacifist. Oh, great. In future, Mahatma Gandhi because Krishna, he sees past, present, and future. In future, Mahatma Gandhi will have, he'll enjoy that. Of course, Mahatma Gandhi later, he's supposed to be a preacher of Bhagavad Gita, and he's promoting Ahimsa, which Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if anyone ever pointed this out to him, but how can you preach Ahimsa on the basis of Bhagavad Gita? But the whole point of Bhagavad Gita is that Arjuna wanted to become a pacifist, and Krishna told him, you're a complete idiot. Get out and fight. What is this pacifism nonsense? So Arjuna wanted to be a good man by worldly estimation. And Krishna told him, your idea of being a good man by worldly estimation, it's completely nonsense. What is this idea of being a good man? Yeah, let's be friends with everyone. But Duryodhana should be killed. He's a rascal. He's spoiling the whole human society. That's why Krishna organized that battle. Be realistic. Oh, we'll all smile at everyone and be nice. And in the meantime, thousands of cows are being killed every day in Hyderabad. And yes, we'll just love everyone and respect everyone. But this should be stopped. If necessary, by killing the killers. If necessary. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. He was prepared to, the person who was torturing the cow and the bull, he was prepared to kill them. A ruler should be prepared to do that. To protect the citizens, to protect the cows, not just all this. Oh, be nice. Of course, we're not. Our aim is not to go around killing everyone, but our aim is to reform everyone. But those who won't be reformed, those who insist on promoting abortion and illicit sex and cow killing and grossly sinful activities. If necessary, they should be stopped by force. Of course, our movement's not in a position to do that at the present time. But the point is that some force is required. The idea of absolute non-violence, that actually destroyed India. Why is that? Because Buddhism became widespread. Non-violence. And then the Muslims came and attacked and just destroyed everything. There was no strong Kshatriya class. Because the idea of non-violence. It's a nice idea, but it's not practical. It's required that there be a class of people who are, most of the people should be peaceful, but there should be a class of people who are ready to protect. Otherwise, if everyone says non-violence, 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 it just requires a few people to say, hey, we're not interested in non-violence, we're gonna loot you and kill you and steal your women and rape them all and enslave your children and then non-Bahu, you have nothing, you can't stop them. And there are such people in this world, and there will be such people in this world. So it's required that there is a class of strong and capable people who are willing and ready to check the miscreants. This is realistic. This is practical. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Realistic, practical direction for spiritual life and for living in this material world. Srila Prabhupada gave us this. Bhagavad Gita as it is. We should distribute it widely and understand it and teach it. That village where he came from, there's dedicated to teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is, so that the boys growing up there, they don't become like the boys growing up in the city or even in the village. There's not much difference now. It's all the same rascal culture as everywhere. They're simply interested in money and sex like monkeys, saving them from that horrible life so they can grow up with purity and good character. Turn off your cell phone. Sorry, it's the only way that it is. Again and again, we have to say. Even little. See, we're asking people to lead a pure life, reform your life, and even you, they won't turn off their cell phone. How difficult it is to reform people. Even little instruction. We'll come for some nice entertaining talk, talking about baby Krishna and the gopis and this and that. And in the meantime, if there's something really important, like a phone call from my girlfriend or something like this, then I have to attend to that. Such low consciousness, low consciousness. This so-called modern civilization, everyone in the lowest possible consciousness. Even if they think of being good, and then what do they come to? Sai Baba. Opening some schools for teaching people how to go to hell. So what a great endeavor this is. What a great challenge this is that Srila Prabhupada gave us. To preach Krishna consciousness. Here in India it's become a great challenge also. People are so much enamored by this so-called advanced civilization. They don't care. They're living in a city, thousands of cows slaughtered. They don't care. What do they care? They've got their TV, their job, and their girlfriend. What do they care? So, to lift people up, it's a great task. We have to attend that. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and at the same time, keep ourselves pure, not ourselves be allured by this whole atmosphere, very degrading atmosphere. So for yourself, your family, your children, if being in the city for preaching, that's the only thing worthwhile being in the city for. Otherwise, best. Aranyam tena gantavyam. Get out of it. Bring your family to the Krishna conscious village. Live peacefully. Grow our own food. Offer it to Krishna. Worship the cows. Tend to the cows. Live among devotees. See your children grow up as devotees, with character, with culture, with spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, raising children in the city, very difficult proposition. How they'll be polluted at every moment by the whole atmosphere around them and the advertisements and all the other, you may be trying to raise your children in Krishna consciousness in the city, and all the other children around them are being raised to be absolutely in the lowest possible consciousness. Hare Krishna. Please visit that farm and try to help develop it. Pranayar arthair dhyava cha shreya archaranam sada. You give your whole life and energy, go and live there. If not, give some money. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Eta vaj janma safalyam. In this way, one should make one's life successful. Dehinami hadehishu pranar atar deava. Otherwise, one can at least try to understand these topics and speak about it. You can give your whole life, go there. Go stay there, develop the project physically, personally, on the site. Or you can give money, or you can tell others about it, preach this message of Bhagavad Gita, give this knowledge, distribute these books, and be pure, live purely, pure in conscience. Purity means, first of all, we should chant Hare Krishna and not eat meat, not eat fish, not eat eggs, only take Krishna prasadam and keep on, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, none of these things. And also we have to be pure in motive. In Krishna consciousness, we can, if we're not very attentive to purify our motives, then we can go on with our materialistic consciousness even after years and years of chanting Hare Krishna. So we're more interested in our body and mind and social prestige and position and respect. We never really make any progress. So it's a great challenge Prabhupada has given us, to ourselves become purified and to change the world. It seems like it's impossible. What are we going to do? Change the world. The whole world's completely in a different course, but it's possible by the grace of Krishna. If we're actually Krishna conscious, yatra yogeshvara Krishna, yatra partha dhanadharaha, tatra shrir vijaya, vijayo bhutir, dhruva nitir matir mama. Where there's Krishna, who can, the master of all mystic potency, he can do anything. And where there's Krishna with Arjuna, who's his great devotee, who's prepared to do everything, Karishye Vachanam Tava, prepared to follow Krishna's instructions completely, because he's completely convinced by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita. Then all unimaginable, there all opulence, victory, morality, they all must be there with Krishna and Arjuna. So it wasn't expected, it didn't seem possible that the forces of Yudhishthira, which were less in number than those of Duryodhana. And Duryodhana's army had Bhishma, Drona, Pramukhata, great, all the top fighters were on that side. who are Bhima, Arjuna, Samayudhi. Bhima and Arjuna were the great fighters on Yudhishthira's side, but there were many who were equal to Bhima and Arjuna, and Bhishma and Drona, they were greater. And they outnumbered the forces of the Pandavas. So it seemed impossible. How could Yudhishthira's forces overcome? But they could do, because of the mystic potency. Krishna favored Arjuna. Of course, they're on the Dharma Kshetra, so that situation also favored them. India is supposed to be one big Dharma Kshetra, Punya Bhumi. Now they've turned it into sinful place, very sinful place. But still, by the grace of Krishna, it can be done. It must be, at least we have to try. Just like Jatayu tried to stop Ravana, it was impossible. But he tried. He got the mercy of Lord Rama by doing so. So we have to try to spread this Krishna consciousness, change the disastrous course of this modern civilization. Hare Krishna. I'll finish then, and we'll now do the Damodarashtakam. I think we may not do the arati also, just Damodarashtakam, otherwise it becomes too extended. Hare Krishna.